Williams, Peter Jones, Clement Freud and Lorraine Chase in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome Lorraine Chase, who's very courageously come along to do battle against our three regular and witty competitors of the game. So
I've
welcome, Lorraine.
I've got nothing
to regret it. And once again, I'm going to ask them all to speak, if they can, for just a minute on the subject that I will give them, and try and do it without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And we're going to show this week with Kenneth Williams, and the subject, Kenneth, oh, a right one for you, taking a diabolical liberty. Will you tell us something on that subject and do it in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, surely no more diabolical liberty was ever taken than that which was perpetrated by Napoleon when he left Elba. Because, A, it was certainly diabolical, and the liberty was not one which had any validity, do you see?
But Lorraine Chase has challenged
you. I can't understand a word he's saying. Am I allowed to get my dictionary out?
Yeah.
Well, I can't translate it, can I?
There are 35 seconds left, Kenneth, for you to continue on the subject, having gained a point for an incorrect challenge, and the subject is taking a diabolical liberty, starting now.
One of the interpretations, since I was interrupted in my flow about Napoleon and Elba, so I can't continue with that, is that diabolical liberties are taken when people assume, or shall we say presume, upon the generosity or kindness, albeit unwillingly given, of one's host or patron, as the French always put it, because they...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of Napoleon and Elba.
Yes.
Well, a bit late in the day, wasn't it? He hung that out. He's just hung it out to get in on the last few seconds. You know that, don't you?
Actually, it was a very shrewd tactic, because I spotted it, as I have to listen.
Well, I thought it didn't matter, because he said it on the first half.
No, if he repeats it, and you've interrupted him, and he repeats it again, you get in there.
Oh, story of my life.
You didn't clock it.
But anyway, Clement very cleverly came in later, because now he only has 12 seconds to talk on the subject. He gets a point for a correct challenge, and he has the subject taking a diabolical liberty, starting now.
This is a rot...
Peter Jones, a chum.
Hesitation.
Yes, Peter, well done. Jones was taking a diabolical liberty, and he got in there. 10 seconds are left. Taking a diabolical liberty, starting now.
Diabolical means...
Lorraine Chase.
Hesitation. That means to get it every time.
No, he actually hadn't even been going for half a second.
Oh, well, I'll let him off then.
Well, that's very, very generous of you, I must say. Taking a diabolical liberty, Peter, starting now.
Diabolical really means like the devil, so that it's got to be a really ghastly kind of liberty that is taken to qualify for this adjective, diabolical.
Oh, well done.
So Ian Messiter, who blows the whistle when 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was Peter Jones, and he's in the lead at the end of the first round. Clement Freud, will you begin the second round? The subject is sponge fingers, starting now.
Sponge fingers are things which people put into trifles, and I'm never quite sure why, other than that, when custard is poured upon the aforementioned sponge finger, the sponge finger becomes soggy, limpid, bland, yucky, and ugly. It is hard to imagine items of greater trivia than sponge fingers, because it is virtually impossible to discourse on that particular subject, even if it is only for another 31 seconds, but I will attempt.
Deviation, he said it's impossible to hold a discourse, and he's just doing it. So, therefore, what he's saying is untrue, right? That's deviation, isn't it?
It's not deviating from the subject on the card. 26 seconds left, starting now.
Take flour, sugar, milk, eggs, yeast, and fingers with which you mix the five...
Kenneth Williams.
Stevia, hesitation.
Yes, there was a definite hesitation. Kenneth, appoint the subject and 17 seconds to talk on sponge fingers starting now.
The only time I've found them of any use whatsoever is when I dip them into things which are prepared gelatinously with sweet things put inside.
And Peter Jones's challenge.
Delight. Repetition of things.
Yes, that is right, Peter. There are 7 seconds for you now on sponge fingers starting now.
Sponge cakes are the things you put in trifles. Sponge fingers are used for making other types of dessert. We put the things round.
Oh, you put the things together, right? You put it round.
Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went, so he gained an extra point for doing so. And we now... Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject is tongue twisters. Can you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper. Now, that's one tongue twister. And I don't like them because, apart from anything else, they're so terribly far-fetched. It's just ridiculous to imagine someone picking that quantity of pickled pepper, which I've now repeated, of course.
Clement Freud has challenged.
He did.
Yes, he did tell us why.
Yes.
All right. There are 44 seconds on tongue twisters, Clement, starting now.
So she bought some better butter, put it in her bitter batter, and you can't really do tongue twisters on this program because they are incredibly repetitive, even while they have no element of hesitation about them. I particularly admired Mr. Peter Jones' tongue twister because it's one that I can never remember, whereas the ones that I recall...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Hesitation.
No.
Well, it was boring then.
So I agree with you about being boring, but he wasn't actually hesitating. And so he carries on, if he can, on tongue twisters with 23 seconds left, starting now.
I don't think I can.
And Lorraine Chase has challenged. Well done, Lorraine. That was very quick of you. And you have 20 seconds. Start now.
Ah, well, tongue twisters. Well, I'm not really authority on things of this nature, this ilk. But I'll have a go, because I'll have a go at most things. Well, almost at most things. But have I done it yet? Tongue twisters are, let me...
Hesitation. She's hesitating all the time.
Yeah, I know she was. There are 5 seconds on tongue twisters with you starting now.
This does not occur with someone whose diction is as exquisite as mine. When you say what an unsuperseable...
So Kenneth Williams was then speaking as the whistle went. He gained that extra point. And let me give you a score at this particular moment. Clement Freud and Peter Jones are equal in the lead. 1 point behind is Kenneth Williams, and 2 or 3 behind them is Lorraine Chase. Ooh. And Lorraine, it's your turn to begin. The subject is snuggling. Will you tell us something about snuggling in just a minute, starting now? You've obviously never snuggled.
No.
Kenneth Williams, you challenge.
Hesitation.
A very definite hesitation, I'm afraid, Lorraine. Couldn't even get going.
I was dumbstruck.
There are 57 seconds on snuggling with you, Kenneth, starting now.
The reason Lorraine Chase can't talk about snuggling is because she is, though appearing to be worldly, a naive creature who's never been out with boys and got into what we would call a snuggling embrace. She doesn't do it. She doesn't know what it means, and therefore is totally unable
Peter Jones has
to discuss it.
Well, it's absolute rubbish, of course.
Because you know from personal experience, do you?
No, I wish I did. But he repeated doesn't, and I thought it was altogether embarrassing. It was prying into someone's personal life, and it had no business on this program.
What is your challenge, Peter?
Repetition of doesn't.
Peter, you have the subject and there are 35 seconds left on snuggling, starting now.
Snuggling is comparatively innocent, really. It's something that one can do in a sleeping bag if you have somebody else to join you. And no one is likely to really object to it, except possibly one's wife or some...
Ken Bloom's this challenge.
Or,
Yes, you mean some wives enjoy a good snuggle. 20 seconds are left on snuggling with you, Kenneth, starting now.
The best thing to do is to get into the warmth of a woolen blanket.
legs and wrap them round yourself and feel so warmly satisfied.
And Lorraine Chase has challenged.
Yes, he was hesitating.
I think he did.
It was very unedible. Edible. No, what is it?
Inaudible.
Inaudible.
Inaudible, yes, it was.
Was really. Wasn't very edible either. Totally inedible.
I agree with you, Lorraine. It was all those things.
It was.
Inedible, inedible, and.
Things of this nature.
Yeah.
I think she should have 3 points.
Mm. Yes, and I do think she should have an opportunity of speaking on snuggling. Otherwise, the whole world is going to think she's frigid. Because after all that anti-propaganda that Kenneth put out, I mean, it's just shocking.
Dried
could
up
ruin her image altogether.
Lorraine, gather your wits and talk, if you can, for 8 seconds on snuggling, starting now.
Well, my favourite thing to snuggle into is a nice fur coat. Oh, lovely, lovely. I'd love to have a nice fur coat to snuggle into. Oh, listen, yes.
Well, much to everybody's delight, Lorraine Chase did keep going for 8 seconds, and she repeated the same words about 8 times. She got a point for speaking when the whistle went, which is so important. She's still a lass in 4th place, but she's doing very well. Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject is St. George. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Great doubt has been thrown on the validity of his sainthood when Rome pronounced that no records provide for any knowing canonization of this particular man. He was confused by Gibbon with George of Cappadocia, and that was a very foolish thing for him to have done, because the tomb at Lydda, where they say he is interred, is probably nothing to do with the St. George of the Eastern Church, and they all assumed all along that it was. But if you trip...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of assume.
Yes. They assumed something earlier on in your dissertation.
It's also a repetition of St. George, because he wasn't the St. George he was talking about earlier.
But that's the... it's deviation from the subject on the card, which is St. George.
Oh, that's very clever.
Peter Jones, the subject is St. George. There are 31 seconds left, starting now.
Well, he's usually identified with this character who went out and defeated the dragon, which frightened everybody else, and he gave his name to a number of pubs, apart from anything else, the patron saint of the country, and these...
Kenneth Williams.
Yes.
Kenneth, you have the subject back of St. George, and there are 17 seconds left, starting now.
What Mr. Jones, in his lamentable ignorance, failed to tell you is that he is the patron saint of Portugal. Now, why they should have chosen him, I can't imagine.
Peter Jones has challenged.
I think that's deviation. He's telling the audience what he says I failed to tell them, which
that's
is not
right.
The point. He's supposed to be telling them what he wants to tell
he
them, not what I failed
to tell them.
Your
lamentable ignorance, which is deviating from the subject of St. George.
Yes, well, my lamentable ignorance is fairly well known now. I've been parading it over the air for years. But I don't want him to do it for me.
And it's still got nothing to do with St. George, so you have the subject back, Peter, and there are 8 seconds left, starting now.
St. George for England, St. Pancras for Scotland. That is right.
And Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, it's deviation. St. Pancras is not for Scotland at all. No, but that's the station you leave from.
That's the station you leave from. Yes. That's a very good joke.
You reckon?
Yes.
Well, of course, you've got a warped sense of humour.
Peter, you have 2 seconds on St. George, starting now.
St. George.
And Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
No. Yes, I think so. Oh, rubbish. Yeah.
Yes, Peter, you have another point and 1.5 seconds on St. George, starting now.
We have a statue of him in St. John's Wood.
Well done.
Well, Peter Jones gained the extra point for speaking as the whistle went and a number for incorrect challenges, so he now has a very positive lead at the end of that round. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? The subject, blackjack. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
There are an awful lot of definitions of blackjack, amongst which I would like to draw the attention of listeners to a substance with which soup is made darker than it was intended by the culinary expert who first thought of it. But possibly blackjack, in most people's minds, conjures up a game of cards also known as pontoon or 21. Blackjack being the casino version of it, in which the banker deals cards to customers and pays out to anyone who has closer to to the magic figure of 21 than does the employee of the house who has put up the money and therefore has proprietorial charge of the casino in which this...
Lorraine Chase has jumped.
Casino. Repetition.
Yes. Yeah, well, listen. So Lorraine has got a challenge there, which is correct, and a point, and there are 16 seconds, Lorraine, for... Yes, you've got to talk on the subject. Now, you've got it. And its subject is blackjack, and you start now.
Blackjack, obviously, by the way, he's been talking about it, is a game of cards. I'm deviating and...
Lorraine, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
You're perfectly correct challenge. You'll get a point for that.
Oh. How many seconds have I got left? You're being kind. Go on.
No, I'm not. You press the buzzer and you challenge yourself for some reason. And
when you challenge yourself...
Yes. It's not the usual way we play the game.
But I might have caught a flaw here. When you challenge yourself, it stops for a little while, you give me a point, and then I go back on the subject.
Yeah. You've hit on a new idea if you keep it up.
Right.
But you could go blind.
There are 7 seconds left for you to try and talk on blackjack, Lorraine, starting now.
Blackjack is a game of cards, a game of cards.
Lorraine Chase, you've challenged yourself.
I repeated myself.
Yes.
I could keep doing this all night.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now moving into a whole new era of panel games.
Now I'm cheating, go on.
You may cheating. Be cheating, Desperate but you're also cheating. Winning points. There are 3 seconds left for blackjack with you, Lorraine, starting now.
Blackjack?
You've been challenged by Clement Freud.
Repetition of horseradish.
Did you say horseradish before, Lorraine?
No.
I didn't think you did. So, Lorraine, you have a thing. 2 seconds to talk on blackjack, starting now.
Blackjack was the name of my first job.
So our guest, Lorraine Chase, playing the game in her own individual
cheating
way.
Cheating desperately.
No, I don't know. It was rather unusual.
Resourceful.
Well, resourceful, the word. Thank you very much, yes. You haven't quite caught up our leader, Lorraine, but
which
you
me,
have...
Which me, you mean me?
No, Peter Jones.
Oh.
But gaining so many points in that round in your resourceful way, you have come into second place ahead of Clement Freud, who's now trailing in fourth place, which is unusual. Kenneth Williams is in third place, and Peter Jones begin the next round, and the subject is thoughtfulness. Will you tell us something about that, Peter? 60 seconds, starting now.
Yes, well, that's a very nice quality, which I think I possess in a modest amount. When one goes to a theatre, for instance, it's nice to be thoughtful and put down a seat for the lady to sit on, provide her with a programme, a box of chocolates, information about the actors which you've mugged up beforehand, and generally binoculars or perhaps opera glasses are more appropriate, unless the theatre's extremely large.
Lorraine Chase has
charged. Theatre.
Yes,
yes,
that's
she mentioned
right,
the word
yes.
theatre. Well, listen, Lorraine, very well done. There are 35 seconds for you to talk on the subject of thoughtfulness, starting now.
Well, I think he's thoughtful too, and I quite like the idea of it, of in going to the theatre and doing all those nice things for people. How kind. When do you go to the theatre, though?
Well,
I love chocolate.
When are you free?
I could fit it in. I could fit it in.
Yeah, well, then, what about...
When you two have stopped snuggling up together over there...
I happen to know that Lorraine is actually appearing in a play at the moment. I've been to see it most nights that it's been on.
How very thoughtful of you, Peter.
Yes, it was.
Now, shall we hear Clement Freud's challenge?
Yes.
Clement, what was your challenge?
Repetition of theatre. We've had 5 now.
Yes. Clement, you take over the subject of thoughtfulness, and there are 23 seconds left, starting now.
I wish people would be more thoughtful when they went to the theatre when it comes to smoking. Because it does seem to me that although non...
Kenneth Williams has
charged.
Yes,
oh,
I agree.
Think so. I was trying to make a point.
You don't argue.
I think most theatres have stopped smoking now.
Theatres never smoked. It was the Patreon.
Go on. 14 seconds on thoughtfulness, Kenneth, starting now.
This has been indulged in for many years by the greatest sages, right the way down from Plato. We have thoughtfulness engraved upon the human memory. Indeed, the recesses of European culture are one great storehouse of thought.
So at the end of that round, Kenneth Williams was speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point. Kenneth Williams is now in second place alongside Lorraine Chase, and where better to be. Peter Jones is still in the lead, and Clement Freud is trailing a little. Lorraine, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is clothes. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, clothes, being it's my favourite subject, known in the Cockney language as these and those, love clothes. I can repeat that, can't I? Can I repeat
Peter Jones is challenged.
Well, I thought sounded like a hesitation.
Yes, it more than sounded like one. Yes. It was one.
It was one.
Yes, yeah. It was.
Mm. Is hesitation? Isn't that funny? Do you know, I've been using that for years and I thought it was like a word that you put in. It's amazing, isn't it? You can all learn a lot on here, don't you?
If you thought was a word, what did you think was?
Well, the same thing. You know, you bung and in if you're a bit confused how to put a couple of sentences together. You bung an end in.
Mm.
Well, I thought when you was talking and you didn't know how to get from one bit of conversation to the other, you put things of this nature to colour the conversation, to make the sentence a little bit...
Well, you do, actually, but not in this game, you see.
Oh.
That's why I'm so hopelessly bad at it. I mean, I can
Peter, you're doing extremely well this week, and you have the subject again of... you have this subject for the first time, of clothes, and there are 51 seconds starting now.
They maketh the man. That's the story we hear. Well, of course, it's absolute rubbish. But clothes...
Pianist Williams has challenged.
He's misquoted the proverb, his manners maketh man.
What is your challenge, then?
He said clothes make them. They don't.
Well, he still wasn't deviating from the subject.
Of course he is. It's deviating from the truth, you great nit.
Everyone knows this.
Just misquoting, but he wasn't deviating from the subject of clothes.
Deviation. It doesn't say deviating from the subject. It says deviation. You mustn't deviate. That's what it says. It doesn't say from the subject. It says deviation.
The inventor sitting beside me. It's deviating from the subject on the card, isn't
deviation
it?
Deviation from the subject, yes.
Yes, clothes. He wasn't
Fancy
deviating.
Asking him. He's a bigger twerp than you.
I wish I could think of...
Anyway, it was deviation, because it's men who make clothes. It isn't clothes who make men.
Quite right.
You can misquote as often as you like, provided you keep going on the subject, which Peter Jones is doing, and he has 46 seconds to continue on clothes, starting now.
Actually, I've seen that phrase written up in the window of an outfitter's, and that's where I got
Clement
it from.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of phrase.
Yes, you did use it before.
Yes, so I did, yes.
And I have to think back, and you're right.
Marvellous memory.
Swine.
42 seconds are left now on the subject of clothes with you, Clement Freud, starting now.
A little clothing is a dangerous thing. A clothes in time makes nine. Come and clothes with me tomorrow night. I'm not doing anything else. Then infinite number of sayings in which clothes and clothing appears. And I think it's high time that we add some of these, since accuracy in acronyms seems to be no part of this game as currently interpreted by Nicholas Parsons, also known as the chairman, who actually gets £4.75 more than the people who play it.
Peter Jones has charged.
I didn't know he was getting that much. Yeah. Who's your agent, Nicholas?
Well, I know. It's
get him working for me.
Ridiculous salary, yes. You don't get very much, but, no. You know, you don't get much more either, do you, Peter?
Well, I get the pencil and a pad.
And you also get the subject, because he was deviating from clothes, talking about Nicholas Parsons. Who wants to deviate as much as that? There are 10 seconds left, Peter, starting now.
Clothes often begin as sheep's wool. They're taken off the animal and they are then spun...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, the subject is not sheep's wool and all this. The subject is clothes. It's not about sheep.
But that's how they start.
Yes, a lot of things start in a lot of fashions, dear, but we don't want to know about that. You're talking about heating. We don't want to start hearing about how coals dug out the ground, do we? I mean, we want to see...
Why not?
Actually,
wouldn't be much heating without it.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to enter into some long etymological discussion.
And
I'm not
shutting up.
Continue. The audience is streaming out for my voice. They want to hear. You can tell them mine. Screaming out for it.
Well, they might like to hear your voice, but alas, it was an incorrect challenge, so I give it back to Peter to continue with 4 seconds to go on clothes, starting now.
Then they have to be woven, and then after that...
Lorraine Chase, you challenge.
Two things. Yes, she's right.
Yes,
two
well things. Done, Lorraine. Yes.
I heard that. I was going to say the same thing myself.
Yes, so Lorraine, you've got in, and it's the last round too, and there's half a second to go. The subject is clothes, starting now.
Clothes are wonderful.
Well, alas, we have no more time to play Just a Minute, so let me give you the final score. For once, Clement Freud finished in fourth place, but only just behind Kenneth Williams, and he was just behind our guest, Lorraine Chase, who... and she's challenged...
just twice.
Another point to Lorraine Chase, but she still hasn't beaten our winner, who this week is Peter Jones. So Lorraine was really getting the hang of things at the end. We hope you've got the hang of things now. We hope one day we'll all have the hang of things and we'll all be playing Just a Minute forever, because we love the game. We hope you've enjoyed listening, and we hope... we hope you want to tune in again at the same time next week when once again we start to play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, bye-bye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.
Well, next Tuesday, Christmas Day, at the earlier time of 6:10, Lance Percival makes his debut with the Just a Minute team. And Kenneth Williams and Lorraine Chase are appearing in The Undertaking at the Fortune Theatre.